Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. Since many have undertaken to sit down and orally account of events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who in the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so you may know the truth concerning the things which you have been instructed. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly, according to all the commandments, regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as a priest before God, and his section was on duty, Zechariah was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to offering incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people were praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the disobedience to the wisdom of the righteous, and to make ready a people prepare for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you do not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at their time, you will become mute and able to speak until the day these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, this morning I want to speak to you a little bit here about Zechariah and Elizabeth, about holding on to hope. Now, Luke starts off his gospel with a little intro. And so apparently by the time he's writing his gospel, there's already some Jesus stories been written down. And most likely Luke has in his possession a copy of Mark. If you ever read Gospel of Mark, you'll notice Mark, Luke, and Matthew, and Luke are similar. And most scholars think that Mark was written first, and it was kind of like what paved the way, and the author of Matthew had a copy, and Luke had a copy, and they said, "This is okay, but this needs some working on." And Luke is going to take Mark's gospel, elaborate on it, and make it designed for a Gentile audience. And this is what he says. He says, these are events that happened and fulfilled, and they were brought down to us by eyewitnesses, or where somebody saw these things happened. And then he says, "I too decided, after investigating everything carefully," investigating. I always think about Sherlock Holmes, right? Investigation. "I investigated everything carefully. I've written down an orally account for you, most excellent Theophilus." Now, excellent is usually referred to a Roman citizen in high authority, usually a senator. And Theophilus might be a real name. It might also be a little, that's no, not the bearers of God, because Christianity's kind of in the twilight zone there about legality. Theophilus means friend of God. Theo, God, Philophilus, Philo, friend, like Philadelphia. Why? So you may know the truth concerning the things which you have been instructed. You may recall from the book of Acts, when Paul went to Jerusalem, got in trouble. He ended up being in Caesarea for 2 years under house arrest. And Luke was with him during that time. What did Luke do for 2 years? Well, I think one thing, he was making house visits because he was a doctor. And two, I think he thought, well, while I'm here, I need to talk to some folks. And I think he talked to folks who were still alive and kicking. And they're like, oh, Jesus, yeah, I remember him. Let me tell you about him, Luke. And that's why Luke can say, I investigated this. I know this is true. I talked to the folks who were there when it happened. This is something I just made off on top of my head that sounded good. This is how it really happened. And so we start off mentioning a guy named King Herod. So what happened? Well, we had the kingdom, of course, with King David and King Solomon. Solomon, unfortunately, ran the kingdom to the ground and divided up into Israel and Judea. The Israel kingdom had all bad kings, and eventually the Syrians came in and took those 10 tribes out, and they kind of disappeared somewhat. They kind of blended in. So that left the kingdom of Judea. That's why we get Judaism and Jews. It's coming from Judea. And the Babylonians came along and got them because they were misbehaving. But then God kept his promise and brought them back to their land. And you recall stories like, for example, how Nehemiah helped rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. And for a while there, they had peace and prosperity. And then the years go by, Alexander the Great conquers the land, brings in the Greek language. He dies. The kingdom gets divided four ways. And then there's the situation where that Israel, that territory belonged to the Egyptian side. And then it got annexed by the Syrian side. And they try to go into the Holy Temple and set a bunch of idols and such to the Greek gods. The Jewish people revolted, and that's where we get the festival of Hanukkah from, when we see our Jewish friends lighting those 9 candles this time of year. And they were independent. But, they got into a civil war among themselves, arguing and fighting. And during that time, the Roman army came in and conquered them. And the Romans set up their own king, who was not Jewish, a guy named King Herod. So King Herod's in charge of Judea. And King Herod would do the right things for the wrong reason. And one of the things he did was he took on the temple and did a big remodeling project. So in this temple, we have a priest named Zechariah. And he is married to Elizabeth. Now, Zechariah means his promise. Elizabeth means God remembers. If you say Elizabeth Zechariah, you got God remembers his promise. I don't think that's an accident. And these are two good people, very righteous. But Elizabeth was barren. She was unable to have children. And in that culture, that was frowned upon. Sometimes folks looked at it as very judgmental and think, well, you must not be living right. And no doubt that was a sad spot in her life. So one day, Zechariah is at work, and they're drawing lots. It's kind of like drawing names out of the hat in our society, and goes, oh, Zechariah, buddy, it's your turn to go into the temple, the sanctuary, offer incense. You know the drill, buddy, burn the incense, come out, bless the people. Case closed. No, short and sweet. So Zechariah goes into the sanctuary, and there's a big old crowd of folks outside, and they're praying. And what's supposed to happen is Zechariah goes in, burns incense, and walks out. Unfortunately, Zechariah gets a surprise visitor, okay? That'd be like if I came here at midnight, you know, to get something, and I pulled up and came in here and closed the door and got inside, and I was here playing around, and then I heard somebody, hey, Mr. Womack, you know, I would jump, right? Ain't nobody supposed to be in here but me. Zechariah's in the sanctuary. Ain't nobody supposed to be in the sanctuary but Zechariah. But the angel appears. And we think of angels in our society. We think of, you know, precious moments and, you know, folks dressed in white robes and songs like, you're my angel. And it's this in the Bible, when angels appear, it scares people. These are holy creatures, very powerful. There's usually a bright light that shines around them. And usually the first thing they say is, don't be afraid. No. If you saw an angel, it would scare you. If an angel appeared right now, I probably don't take cover behind this pulpit. And he said, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give birth to a son. And you're going to name him John. And he will bring you, and you will have joy and gladness. And many will rejoice at his birth. And by the way, there's some rules. He will be great inside the Lord. No drinks, no wine. Because even before this child is born, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what he will do. And here he's quoting verses from Malachi. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the harsh and the parents, their children, and the disobedience of the wisdom to righteousness, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. See, if you go to your Old Testament, the very last book is Malachi, and the very last verse says, before that great and terrible day of the Lord, I will send my prophet Elijah to turn the hearts of the children and the fathers. In other words, to lead a great revival. Zechariah, you're it. Your kid, that's his job. That's why he's coming. You're going to be the parents. And then Zechariah says, how will I know this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years. Now, I know in school we say there's no such thing as a dumb question. But that was a dumb question. One, I've been told by countless authorities that the word wife and old should never be used in the same sentence. Mm-hmm. Number two is, Zechariah, you're a priest. Have you forgotten your scriptures? Have you gone about how Abraham and Sarah, and God promised Abraham he'd be the father of a great nation, and Abraham kind of laughed at him? Then though Sarah had that little scheme, and that's with Hagar, the Egyptian slave, and that's how Ishmael was born. And then later on, God tells Abraham again, says, you know, your son will have a kingdom. And Abraham goes, oh, Lord, no, if only Ishmael could find favor in your side. And the Lord said, Ishmael has found favor in my side. I have made him a great nation. But my covenant is between you and your wife, Sarah. And because you laugh, you will name your kid Laughter. In Hebrew, laughter is Isaac. And then Isaac is born, and Noah has a son. Got married, and she had some issues her pregnancy. So he got two twins. He got Jacob and Esau, wrestling her womb. And Jacob, remember, he had two wives. He had sister wives, bless his heart. And the wife he really loved, Rachel, was unable to have children. Remember that? And at one point, she got very upset and said to him, said, give me children. And he said, oh, my God, you know, I can't do anything. It's not my fault. Your sister's having all the kids, Fertile Myrtle, and you're not. You know, what can I do about it? And then God, his blessing, blessed her, and she gave birth to Joseph. And that's when he got, you know, the coat many colors and got him in trouble with his other brothers. You may call their own in the book of Judges. You have a lady, she has a vision, and there's a man there. And they're told, you'll have a son, and your son is going to start the process of freeing your people from the Philistines. And oh, by the way, no strong drinks, no touching animals, dead animals, and no haircuts. And of course, that was Samson. You know? And when Samson was born, every time he got in trouble, the Holy Spirit would rush upon Samson, and he would smack someone down. And then the one that I think is really heartbreaking is in the very first book of 1 Samuel. You have a guy with two wives, and once again, gentlemen, the two wives, this is a bad idea, okay? It never ends well. And he likes one wife more than he likes the other. But once again, the wife he didn't really like was having all the kids, and the wife he did love, Hannah, wasn't. And he said, well, Hannah, I mean, you got me. Isn't that good as having a son? No, dummy. And then one day, she's in the temple, and she's just going for the Lord, praying and crying. And The high priest, Eli, comes out and thinks you've been drinking. He said, go home. And he said, no, I'm not drunk. I'm just heartbroken. I don't have any children. He said, go in peace. And then God, his blessing, blessed her with a son, Samuel. Now, was Samuel a king? No. What did he do? He is the one who went to the town of Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse, and anointed the one who would be king, King David. You see a similarity here. John the Baptist was not the Messiah. His job was to baptize the Messiah and pronounce him as the Lamb of God who's here to take away the sins of the world. He was the forerunner. And so Zechariah says, well, how this is, you know, I'm getting old. My wife, you know, she's on Medicare now. She's old too. And the angel gets upset and says, I am Gabriel. And if you read the book of Daniel, Gabriel is God's spokesperson. Okay. And he says, I was sent here to tell you this good news. But because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute and able to speak until the day these things occur. In other words, because you open your mouth and ask that dumb question because of your doubt, no more talking for you. You got 9 months, buddy. Well, meanwhile, the folks are outside and they're thinking, what's going on with Zechariah? I mean, is he okay? I mean, did he fall down, break a leg? Did he have a heart attack? Did he have a stroke? Did we need to go check on him? No. Can we do that? I mean, what's the protocol? No, that you need a first response in the sanctuary, you know? It's not like you can push that little button and say, help, I've fallen, you know, dial 911. No, what do we do? And so they're all getting anxious, you know? So Zechariah comes out, and he's supposed to say, may the Lord bless you, the Lord make his face shine upon you, may the Lord grant you peace, that prayer. And instead, the poor boy can't talk. And it says he used his hands to motion to them what happened. And so, by popular demand, I have asked our resident sign language expert, because he got such rave reviews last year when he did this, to kind of reenact for us what Zechariah might have done. Ladies and gentlemen, Clint Bailey, our sign language expert. Ready? All right. I mean, we mess up, we won't know the difference. I was in the temple praying when an angel appeared to me. He told me that my wife would give birth to a son, but I didn't believe him. And now I can't talk. All right. Thank you, Clint. Yeah. I feel like we had a bonus here, Lord. We got the sermon and the Christmas program today all together. And so when time's up, he goes back home to his wife, Elizabeth, and she becomes pregnant. And she says she goes in seclusion for 5 months. She just wants folks to know about this, okay? It's not like we're going to put this on social media and tell everybody. We're going to do that little pink and blue reveal stuff. Like, no, it's kind of like COVID shutdown, right? I'm going social distancing. You bring my food to me. I'm not going outside. I want this between us, you know. And she said, this is what the Lord has done for me. When he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people. Think about that. You know, we find out in other places that Elizabeth was called barren, like it was her nickname. And she had to go through all those years of seeing her friends get married and have children, and that first birthday and second birthday, and then the bar mitzvah when they were 13, they became part of the community. And then maybe their friends were getting, they grew up and got married and having the grandkids come along. And there she was having to see all that. And that's rough. And then when she least expected it, the Lord said, Elizabeth, it's time for you to give birth. And your son will be John the Baptist. And his job is to prepare the way for another baby, the baby to be born in Bethlehem. So that's more I just want to encourage you. You know, when things seem down out, when you feel like there's no hope, there's always hope. You know, earlier Jasper and I were reading the psalm and talking about the barren woman giving her children and a house filled joy. The reason I picked that psalm because that's what happened to Elizabeth. She was barren, and God blessed her the child and filled her with joy. And when that happens, don't be like Zechariah and question it. You just say, thank you, Lord. I'm here. I'm ready to do your will. You open your heart to God and say, Lord, thank you for your blessing. And you respond in faith. Thanks be to God. Amen.